So this morning, we are going to be ministering a message entitled, "And She Who Was Called Barren." And it's the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth and how they supernaturally were given the miracle of giving birth to John the Baptist that Jesus said was the greatest Old Testament person. Okay? The Old Testament people, Elijah, Elisha, Moses, Jesus Christ, said that John the Baptist was the greatest in the Old Testament. And you know, his ministry, some say, only lasted 6 months. But what was one of the key things of his ministry? John kept saying, "I must decrease and he must increase." You know you're going to be powerful in God when that's your thought. I'm out of the way. God, you got me. Manifest through me 100%. Amen? So we're going to pick this story up. And there's so many important points that are relevant for the River Family Church in your life right now in December of 2015. And so I entitled this message, "And She Who Was Called Barren." You could have named it "Faithfulness Rewarded," which is our first thought here this morning. I'm going to begin to read, and the scriptures are there on your notes. Luke 1, 5 through 9. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abiha. His wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Everybody say blameless. "But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." Okay? And I want to, for a moment, talk about the importance of faithfulness. How important faithfulness is in this hour. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth were what kind of people? Faithful people. Righteous people under the law. They were wholeheartedly serving God and keeping to the best of their ability, by the grace of God, the commandments. Blameless is what the Bible says. Okay, they were blameless. Do you think they could have began to have an attitude when everybody else is having babies and their righteousness is not being rewarded with children, which in that hour, what I think in a lot of us today, what is greater than our kids? What has brought us more joy than our children? You know? But certainly in that hour, barrenness was shunned on, and actually many people taught that it was some kind of curse that came on you because of something you did. And how much bitter that was, that you would be righteous and considered unrighteous by many of your neighbors. Look at Elizabeth. Now she's an old woman. She never had a child. And it could have affected their faithfulness. But what do we find? We find them in the temple. We find them in church. We find them serving God. I can't tell you how important this is as kings and priests. How many of you understand you're a king and a priest? How unbecoming, how beneath the status and the station and the position of a king and a priest in the kingdom of God to stop coming to church. And yet we know that's a habit that has formed so much of the time. Can you imagine a king and a priest looking at a list of requirements of what they're looking for in a church, and one of them would be an hour service? Can you imagine that would even be a thought in anybody's mind, that is going to be the primary thing? Look, I am a time saver. Anybody that you've ever seen me in my car, I've ran you off the road, you know I've got a heavy pedal, man. I've got a heavy foot on that pedal. I'm always looking for shortcuts. Some of you guys, you know, you got two lanes to turn in. A lot of people, they're mindless. They just get in wherever the car in front is. You got 90,000 cars in the right lane, and there's nobody in the left turn lane. How many of you are like me, that you're always looking for that angle to bypass all these zombies that are driving their car and get over in that lane where there's not a lot of traffic. Why? Because you can get where you're going faster. So I understand saving time. But when it comes to serving the Lord, you cannot have saving time as your number one requirement, or two or three or four or five. You better not have that in the top 10. You will not make the first cut of the rapture if you have that as one of the top 10 reasons for the church that you pick. Okay. No matter how disappointed Zacharias and Elizabeth was with their condition, they love God anyway. And you've got to love God and serve Him, not because He gives you things or you have things that come to you, but He is worthy. If I don't get anything, He is worthy of my devotion. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to have forever and ever and ever to enjoy the inheritance. And how big is the inheritance? Say all things, guys. So when you think about how rich you are, you got all things. Zuckerberg is worth $45 billion, I heard the other day. That's not even a drop in what we have as saints. All right, so do we see this? The faithfulness of Zechariah here, even in his old age, and Elizabeth advanced in years, they're still faithfully being a priest before God in the temple. And you know, I would say that it's so important for us to be willing volunteers in this hour. I've got it in the notes. The dragon has come down to the earth with great wrath, knowing his time is short. And so he's got his disciples. He's got his Islamic terrorists, attacking us. And I just want to say this. You know, we know that the devil's got radicals, whether it's under Islam or another belief system. We've got those that love death. And what's the Bible say? They that love death hate me. Okay? So I'll tell you, any religion that loves death hates God. Okay? Just figure that out right now. Okay? And so, but where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen? And so I want to take a look at Zacharias and Elizabeth again. Both righteous before God, blameless and obedient. Still serving as a priest before God, but they have no children. Elizabeth was barren. One translation says she could not have any. Never had given birth. Those words hurt when you have them said about yourself. Okay? And how many of you, to some degree, please don't lift your hand, but you kind of feel that you've had a level of barrenness that you've not certainly maximally produced on what you know is on the inside of you. Well, yeah, I'm going to raise my hand because I still feel there's a whole lot to come out. If you want to raise your hand with me, you can. He's not through with us yet. Okay? He's not through with us yet. He saves the best wine for last. The latter end will be greater than the former. Amen? The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Okay? So, I've got a thought here. We know in this story that their time of blessing has come. I want you to know this. There is a set time, Psalm 102:13. Yes, a set time to favor Zion has come. Yes, the set time. And you know, a lot of times you won't know it's the set time. You will not understand the set time. That it's when it comes to you, most likely you'll be surprised. Okay? Do you think the woman that was bowed over with the spirit of infirmity for 18 years knew the day that she was going to be healed from almost two decades of that deformity, of that spirit of paralysis, and she was twisted into a serpent shape, unable to look up? Do you think that she knew the Sunday or the Saturday there in the synagogue that she decided to come worship Jehovah, that Jesus Christ was going to lay hands on her that Sunday and that she was going to be healed? What if she would have given up on God? What if she had given up on going to church, the synagogue there? What? Because of her condition, 18 years, and yet she faithfully was in the house of God looking for God. Now, I've got a message coming up called Great Expectation. It's going to be on Simeon again. I know you guys have heard that message, but you haven't heard all of the message. And I promise you there's some things that we're going to bring next week that will absolutely on Simeon and the power of faithfulness and being full of the Holy Spirit. How in your hands you're going to lift up the promise and dance like a gazelle around with that promise in your hands. Okay, so the time of their blessing has come. And notice what it says. So it was, or now it came to pass, one day it so happened, while Zacharias was serving as priest before God. Notice, while he was on duty, acting as a priest, fulfilling his priestly duties, going about his work in the temple, carrying out his priestly duties, serving God in the temple. When does something amazing happen to him? When he's doing all that. When he's serving God. That's when something amazing. God decided to visit him when he was serving God in the temple. You know, there's a redemptive name for God that talks about provision. How many of you know what that name is? Jireh. Lift your hands with me. Let's thank God for Jehovah Jireh. But you know, we say Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. But in the Hebrew, the word Jireh does not mean provider. It's implied. What does the word Jireh mean? It means the Lord who sees. Jireh means to see. And God, in His providence and His love and His covenant love for you and me, He sees us in our need and He meets that need. Amen? So when you say Jehovah Jireh, you are actually saying the Lord who sees my need. And it's implied, you see my need, and God loves us so much, and because of the covenant we have with the Lord Jesus, He meets that need. Amen? And so, you know, serving God, when Abraham offered up Isaac, the name of the place there at Mount Moriah was called, and he named the name of that place what? You know, Jehovah Jireh, basically, for the Lord sees. Okay, but it specifically, it was where the Temple Mount was built. Francis Frangipane says that God will always supply where the temple's being built. I want to say that again. God will always supply where the temple is being built, where His kingdom is going forward. There, He's going to supply. And Father, right now, make every adjustment you need to make in every one of our hearts to make sure we're on firm kingdom ground right now. Because if we're on kingdom ground, our needs are going to be met. And abundantly in Jesus' name. Not always the case in the short term. Always the case in the long term. Amen. Elizabeth and Zachariah, they had a season of barrenness. Did Hannah have a season of barrenness? But she produced a Samuel. Elizabeth, Zacharias and Elizabeth are going to produce John the Baptist. It's going to prepare the way for the Lord, okay? But notice in verse 10 of Luke 1, it says, and the whole multitude of the people, they were praying outside at the hour of incense as Zechariah had moved into the temple to do his priestly duties. I just want to say this. You know, there's a whole lot of help from prayer, corporate prayer. The more we pray, the more breakthroughs we're going to get. Okay, we're not going to talk about prayer a lot today, but please understand we need your praying. If you don't come to a corporate prayer meeting, you must be praying at home. You have to be praying. Prayer, petition, supplication, intercession, thanksgiving, declaration. These are all kinds of prayer, and you have to have these in your life. Amen? But how much more powerful when the whole multitude, the whole congregation is praying together? Could have helped at this moment, I think. Look at verse 11. Be ready, your suddenly is coming. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar. Now, he had no idea that he was going to see an angel that day. Do you think he was shocked? Would you be shocked right now if an angel manifested in here? Do you know how full this church would be next week if ever all of us saw an angel and you went out from here talking about the angel that showed up at the river? There, I'm telling you, there is an excitement that will come when you see God moving in your life. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, God shows up with sending an angel, the angel Gabriel. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel back to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Notice what the prophecy is saying is that Zacharias and Elizabeth, though you've been barren, yet God has heard your prayer. And what's going to come out of you is going to be considered by God, number one, to be great, two, filled with the Holy Spirit, and three, that thing that's going to come out of you is going to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Let me say this again. What is going to come out of Zacharias and Elizabeth is something that God considers great, two, filled with the Holy Spirit, three, it's going to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now, we are Zacharias and Elizabeth at the River Family Church. And we are going to continue to serve God faithfully. And we will not be forgotten by God. And he is going to visit us, whether it's by an angel or prophecy or I don't know. I don't care. As long as we have his tangible presence. And what's going to, he's going to cause a conception. And we're going to get pregnant in something that is God is going to say, that is great. How many of you want the God's to put a stamp on your produce and not the world? The world's going to just ignore it or say that's crummy, but not God. God is saying it's going to be great in the eyes of God. What's going to come out of you, God's going to say that's great. And it's going to be full of the Holy Spirit. I heard the Lord say, you must not produce anything in this hour that's not full of the Holy Spirit. You cannot allow anything to come out of you that is not full of the Holy Spirit. Because the number one requirement in the earth today, the dragon has come down to the earth with great wrath. I say the Holy Spirit needs, where sin abounds, the grace much more abounds. And grace doesn't, it's not like, you know, snow that just falls everywhere. Grace works through Christians. God has to get his grace through the believer to touch this world. Amen. We're the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And so what you have to be producing Holy Spirit filled things. Okay. So let's just take a moment right now. Lord, we just look at our life and we say that everything that's being produced from us. How many of you believe that our children need to be taught in the Lord and to be full of the Holy Spirit, that they need to be worshipers? Our children need to be worshipers. Lord, our marriages need to be Holy Ghost filled and blessed. Lord, I thank you right now. Our ministries, everything we do, ushering, children's, Lord, worship, sound, everything that we do for a corporate service, we need you, Holy Spirit, to flood through it mightily. And Lord, everything that we're doing at work, everything we're doing, everything that we put our hand to, may the Holy Spirit use that powerfully. And Lord, right now, lift your hands and let's ask for a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit, that we are full of the Holy Spirit ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you know, guys, I have been now a Pentecostal Christian. That means spirit-filled. The word Pentecostal has been really damaged by a lot of religious stuff. You can't hardly even use that word because you turn so many people off. But those of us who understand the day of Pentecost, and it was the day when the Holy Spirit came and truly filled it with a reality and not a make-believe or a style. And so I hate a style without substance. I don't like a style where people fall down and it wasn't the Holy Spirit taking them down. It was their decision to fall down. I don't like it. It's hard to deal with, guys. You don't like it. But legitimate, real power of God that can cut through the garbage and discern the hearts of men and to heal cancers and to see God move in us. That we're not playing make-believe, we're not playing church, and we haven't got a Pentecostal style. A few shandais and we go out and just stay exactly the same. That we are the body of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus is not limited in Matt's store. Because of my ignorance in my mind, because I don't take time to read the Word of God. He can't use me because my mind is dull. Or that I have a lifestyle that is in unbelief and busyness, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things have stopped him from being able to use us. Yeah. Listen, 2 Timothy says that the servant of the Lord that must not sin. And then it goes on to say, that in a great house are many vessels, some for noble purposes, some for common. It says, if any man will cleanse himself, he will be a vessel of honor, meet, or that means prepared for the master's use, ready for any good work. Lift your hands with me at the river. If we're going to be truly Holy Spirit filled, then that's got to be our heart today. That Lord, clean us. Lord, we don't want to produce something that's mixed. We don't want mixed worship. Lord, we don't want to be religious. We don't want to be cool. Guys, I don't like the cool spirit. Do you think Jesus was cool? He was really cool in the right way. But when we try to be cool, when we try to be, you know, in our worship of God, you know, I see it. I want radical people. The devil's got radical people. Lose this. Pretend nobody's around you. And just worship Him in spirit and truth. And when you go out of here, don't be more concerned to how you look. Be concerned that God has control of your heart and your mouth, that you can bless. Amen? These are really important things. Then the angel appeared to him all at once. It's going to happen suddenly. I'm telling you, God can come into your life just quickly. And the angel says, your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. God Himself has heard your prayers. Your prayers have come to the ears of God. This ought to encourage us about praying, that God Himself is listening. And you shall call His name John, which means the Lord is gracious. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at His birth. Many will have and you will have a great delight. You're going to leap like a gazelle, is what the message says. Now, this is what I'm believing for in this hour. Where am I going with this message? I'm going in a direction to what is going to be produced out of our lives, and individually your life, my life, is something that God considers great, something full of the Holy Spirit, and something that causes men to turn back to God and be reconciled, and for a people to be prepared, the bride to have made herself ready. Okay? Now, you know, in this praying that they were doing, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were praying. They were praying for many years. How many years? Probably, I would imagine they probably prayed. No one knows how old they were, but they were well advanced, very old. One translation says they were very old. So they were at least 3 decades, maybe 5 decades or even older. I don't know, maybe 50 years, 60 years praying and not seeing anything. Minimum 30 years. I would say, how many of you think at least 30 years that they prayed and they didn't get an answer for a child? They were barren. Now, come on, guys. Can you pray 30 years and not get an answer? Caleb and Joshua, Caleb lasted 45 years and held out for his promise. What kind of backbone do you have? What kind of faith backbone do you have to grab onto the promise and not let go? Not let go. Can you hold on? Can you grab on and not give up? Because if you do give up, you won't see the promise. But if you don't give up, you're going to see something that God's going to say, that's great. And that's full of me. That's me walking out there now. Man, I want what God's walking in. Amen. Amen. Not the devil. And it goes on to say, you know, what we produce must be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think we already talked about that. And let's move on over to beware of unbelief. Luke 18, 1 through 18 through 20. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. Now, God sent Gabriel, and we'll read this. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time, in their season. And so let's just take a moment. Let's talk about unbelief and words. and how important it is that we don't talk unbelief. Guys, I'm telling you, it's vital. We don't give your mouth over to unbelief. I don't know how God can do this when you're $50,000 in debt as a ministry and you have a little bit of money, but nothing, you know, that money is in a special account called building fund. And, you know, there's just seemingly no resources, no way out. And, you know, I'm sitting there in my office, really, honestly, upset and feeling depressed. But I'm still, like Zacharias, I'm still doing my duty of being not only a pastor, but I'm talking about I was praying. I didn't feel like praying. I did not want to pray that day. I just wanted to be depressed. That's what I didn't want to hang my head and just think negative. That's what every feeling in me didn't want to move into the light. Just wanted to lay down, suck my thumb right there in the darkness. But I was praying. Did I think God was hearing my prayers? I didn't, you know, it wasn't like I was sitting there and, you know, encouraging myself, God, I know you're listening to me. I was just at that time just doing what I knew to do when God spoke and I heard these words, go possess the land. And I answered God back and I said, sarcastically, that's how pathetic I was. I talked to God sarcastically and I said, I think that's what I'm doing in my chair. I went like this with my hands. I think that's what I'm doing. And I heard the Lord say, no, you're not. Get up out of that chair, get in your car, and start driving up and down Highway 78 and South Santa Fe and declaring that you have property to build a church. Okay? 2 weeks, within 2 weeks from that event, we found the property 1/4 mile away that we bought from the Colucci's, which we were in their home Monday night. The people that what a home. Robert Colucci's home this last Monday night for a meeting. We bought that property for $125,000 and a donation letter that was worth to the Colucci's $200,000 to $300,000. A piece of paper with my signature on it and the river logo was worth that much money. Over $250,000 worth because of tax savings as they did the write-off. 2 years later, less than 2 years later, we sold that property for $1 million. Only God could have given that kind of miracle to deliver us from that $50,000 in debt that I thought was the end of the world and bless us with that kind of. And you've heard the story. Most of you know, Dwayne cut the grass twice, and that was all we did. We did hire a civil engineer for a few thousand dollars. But honestly, guys, I could have sat there and tried to figure it out in my mind. How is God going to deliver us? What it, you know? And Zacharias, what's he say? How can this be? Let me read it again. How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced. You ever noticed that it's real easy for you to come up with all the reasons why God can't deliver you? And God's got infinitely more ways to deliver you than you've got ways that he can't. I'm going to say that again. God's got an infinite number of ways to deliver you. Infinite number. Infinite. He is the master of breakthroughs. And if you think old age is going to stop God. I mean, the angel could have said, don't you remember Abraham and Sarah? Then there's a whole lot of other people that have been very old that have given birth supernaturally by the grace of God. What's your handicap today? Is it education? God can make you smart. He can give you wisdom. And maybe your IQ won't be at the top of the charts. But wisdom, God can give you the gift of wisdom and you can have wisdom. It's the principal thing. What I'm challenging you in today, in your old age, in your impossibility, in your handicap, in your failure, in your difficulty, in that obstacle, that difficulty, that you might, when God begins and suddenly comes to you and He speaks to you, as He spoke to me in an instant as I sat in my car, depressed again. The fact that we had no building. Amy and I had just got done praying a prayer that had zero life on it. But there again, we prayed. We held hands and we mumbled out the prayer. It was on a scale of 1 to 10, 1. I shuffled out the door, head down. I got in my car. And all of a sudden, I thought, I just made the decision, God, I'm going to believe You. And I opened my mouth, Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and outstretched arm. And when I said these words, nothing is too difficult for You. Bang, boom, an explosion happened in that car, in my heart. God filled that car. A gift of faith happened. A gift of faith. I knew we had the property. Later that day, the pastor of this church called and said, can we have lunch tomorrow? We need to discuss something. The next day, he took me to lunch and he said, we'd like you to pastor this building and bring your church into this building. I am telling you, your unbelief can limit God, or your faith can absolutely co-labor with God. So, you know, the deal is, because Zacharias could not get over this, that God had heard his prayer and that God was almighty, all Zacharias could think of was his limitations and why that miracle could not happen. And so Gabriel says that now, here I am, the one who stands in the presence of God. I have been personally sent by God to give you this amazing promise. And because of your unbelief, you're not going to be able to speak until this baby comes to pass, this promise comes to pass and is fulfilled in its season. And so I said, Lord, what does this mean for us today? I am telling you that God is on a mission. He's on a plan and a purpose. And if you think that He's not going to fulfill what He said He's going to do, He has spoken. Who can reverse it? And I'm telling you, God's going to step all over all of our unbelief if He has to. And He's going to remove that from him. He's going to find the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a man or woman whose hearts are perfect toward Him. He had chosen Zacharias and Elizabeth because of their faithfulness and their righteousness and maybe other plans by grace that we don't know about. But I can tell you that that story of Zacharias and Elizabeth tells us that God wants to use the righteous. He'll save the unrighteous, but He wants to use the righteous. And the righteous, even the righteous, that's you and me, might have spots on our faith. And if you don't think He's going to shut that up and remove it, and I heard the Lord say, you know, it's your choice. You can stay in faith, or I will take away things out of your life that are keeping you bound up. Do you think Zacharias and Elizabeth, that Zacharias would not have contaminated Elizabeth when they got home? And they're old, man. They had to talk themselves into being together. Some of you say, why? I'm telling you, that was an issue. Zacharias would have gone home talking unbelief. And God could not have that. Are you, God is going to say to us, you either do it yourself or I'll do it. Because I've decided to use you. The River Family Church is part of the remnant. We're the end time church. He's going to use us. So I say yes and amen. Let's all say yes and amen. No matter how difficult it looks, how impossible, how beyond time, you know, it's too late. I don't care what those words are. Today, we might be Zacharias and Elizabeth, but we have to say like Mary said, be it unto us according to Thy word. There's a big difference in when Zacharias says, how shall I know this? And Mary's, how shall this be? First of all, notice Zacharias said, how shall I know this? And, you know, Zacharias had a wife. Mary is a single 15-year-old girl, probably. I mean, it's a good question to ask if you're Mary. Okay, how's this going to be? I don't have a man. I'm not married. But Zacharias had no reason. Okay, old age. But he had the Bible. He could see the father of faith before him, Abraham and Sarah. And he was a priest. He should have known better. He should have been. He's a mature believer. So guys, right now, is it your words that you need to watch? You need to clamp down on your mouth. You need to keep saying what God says. You need to get and say, in Jesus' name, I don't care how old I am. I don't care how handicapped I might be. I don't care how out of touch I've been. I don't care that I spent 20 years in the world as a Christian and now I've just recently come to the Lord. I say in this last hour that what's coming out of me is a God thing that God's going to say is great. It's going to be full of the Holy Spirit and it's going to change this world. I'd say, God, here I am. Use me. Produce something in me. I hear the Lord saying, is the arm of the Lord shortened that it has no power to save? God silences Zechariah's unbelief by taking away his voice. He will not be able to sabotage God's plan for to bless Zechariah and Elizabeth and the world through them. Sometimes God might have to silence us to bless us. Take something away for a season. Not only our voice, but other things that could interfere with his word coming to pass in its season. Now listen, religiously people, they don't understand. I mean, they, everything that happens, everything the devil does, it's the Lord that giveth and the Lord that taketh away. But I want to tell you, he's Lord and he has a right to prune us. He's the vine dresser and we are the branches. And the Lord can prune us. How many of you are saying prune me? If you don't get pruned, you don't bear fruit. So every one of us, just let God cut that stuff off us. Anything that's going to stop us from producing a God thing needs to be cut. You don't live unto yourself anyway. You live for him. You're his body. He's not your body. You're his body. Amen? Now, this is a mature word today, guys. Are we mature people? And I'm telling you, God's word is going to be fulfilled in its time. I want to end with this thought. She who was called barren has conceived. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Just as God said, he did. Just as he promised, he performed. Just as he did with Sarah. Elizabeth is now pregnant. And look at Luke 1:36 through 37. Now indeed, Elizabeth, this is Gabriel talking to Mary later in the chapter. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. No word of God, the authorized standard says, no word of God shall be void of power. Where it says, for with God nothing will be impossible, it can actually, in the Greek, be translated, no word from God shall be void of power. Nothing is impossible with God because no word of God is void of power. If God speaks it over your life, it's going to come to pass. His word will not return to heaven void. It will prosper where it's sent and it will succeed where it's believed. Amen? So believe his prophets and so shall you prosper. Believe in the Lord and you will be established. Stand on your feet this morning. And she who was called barren. Now, if nobody has called you barren, the devil certainly has. He has mocked your faith. He has said that you are not good enough, that you are not pleasing him, that whatever those lies are, you've got to be right now committed to saying, no word of God is void of power. You know, I picked a word, Jeremiah 32:17. It is my go-to scripture in all the Bible when I need a miracle. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Do you know I don't say that scripture only when I feel like saying it? I say it when I feel unbelief creeping on me. I say it when I feel I hear the devil speaking that you're never going to make it. I speak it when I feel like a failure, when I feel barren. I'm going to speak that word. I'm going to get in agreement with God. And instead of God having to shut my mouth, because I don't want to, he doesn't want me to contaminate those around me with unbelief, I'm going to open my mouth and put the word of God in as Samson did at Lehi and killed 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. I am telling you that we can open our mouth, get in agreement with God, and speak Jeremiah 32:17, Jeremiah 33:3. We can speak John 4, all these great promises that says that we can have what we pray. And so it's our best time, guys. This story is for all of us who feel that there's a barrenness in our life. Your womb is just about ready to produce something good. I don't care if you're 50, 60, 70, 80. I don't care. You know, it's so funny. We had a conversation, Em, with you a few years ago. You were just 19, turning 20. And I remember you kind of had a downcast look that day as we were talking. And I said, honey, what's wrong? She said, I'm getting old. I said, what? Dad, I'm turning 20, man. Life, I mean, what? How did it go by so fast? I just was born yesterday and now I'm 20. Oh my gosh. So we all have that feeling that we're missing our prime and that it ran by us. Whether you're 20 or 80, lift your hands with me. Let's thank God today. Lord, today, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Today, we declare, Lord, here we are. Send us. Use us. Oh, yes. Be it unto us according to thy word, O God. We will not limit you by what we see, by what we feel, by what we've done. Lord, by who we are in the natural. We will not limit you by age or any other reason. But we will say, Lord, here we are. And we will be faithful. And stay faithful to the house of God, to the kingdom of God. And we will not quit, give up, draw back, get angry, and frustrated, and mad. Why life's not working out for me? Lord, in spite of all these reasons, and there's no fruit on the vine and no calves in the stall, nevertheless, we will praise you. And Lord, I know you're producing in us suddenly, I prophesy. Suddenly, over each one of you, there's going to be a suddenly. A song's going to come. An idea's going to come. A ministry opportunity is going to come. There's going to be an explosion of your faith. Suddenly. Some of you, you'll have an angelic visitation. We have the end time church. We're supernatural. We're stronger than the devil. We're the body of Christ. And we're full of the Holy Spirit. And we're out there changing this world this week. We're helping to prepare the people of God for their King coming. And He's coming soon. Lift your hands one more time. Let's thank Him together. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Say this prayer with me. Jesus, I am a believer, not a doubter. You will not have to shut my mouth. For I'm going to open my mouth even wider and speak your word. Even more boldly, in Jesus' name, thank you now that I am pregnant with a great thing from you, full of the Holy Ghost and power, and it's going to go out in the world and change it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We are dismissed.